Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Annie Gibson.
And today we are joined by Josh Howie.
God, you guys are so positive in your intros. They're like, yeah, it's me.
Tits and teeth, Josh, tits and teeth.
That's what we always say.
I've got one of those.
We like to sound enthusiastic, don't we? We feel
that's right.
Yeah, people are cheering. They want this energy. They want this, like, take me out of my life. Is that what you're saying?
Well, if they wanted a lovely quiet time, perhaps they'd be listening to The Archers or something like that. I don't know. Just for a bit of quiet murder.
Or do you think they might be on the running machine? And this is their, like, get up and go part of the run?
Hey.
You could do it.
Yeah. You're not shit. There, that's my motivational quote for you. There you
are. That's right.
How's that?
Let's talk about you, Josh.
Oh, God.
Okay, so you're a stand-up comedian, writer, and a dad of four. Fucking four kids,
and not even any twins. Just bang, 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 bang.
I'm just getting them out there.
Yeah, yeah. How old are they?
6, 4, 2, and 0.
No prime numbers for Josh Howie.
Yes,
he likes them even Stevens.
Well, for now, for this year.
Oh, oh.
The next year.
Yeah. Are you going to have the...
The female circumcision? no, I will not be having the... I'm just hoping for the menopause.
I'm so hot.
I hate you. I love you. Fuck me. Don't fuck me.
As long as we don't have sex for 10 years, we're fine.
Having four kids is probably enough to keep you tired enough not to, you know...
No. We have a very healthy sex life.
Good. I'm comfortable talking about sex. It's fine.
You might want to rethink the old...
Whatever shall be. Well, you just have to trust in the Lord.
Yes.
Jesus provides...
Yes.
I'm just joking about Jesus, I'm Jewish. Was that on my list?
So you've done comedy all over the world, including India, Ireland, France, China, Thailand, Switzerland, Finland, Estonia, and America. And you were a presenter on Sky Movies for 4 years.
Yeah, thanks for rubbing in. Was. I did, there was a whole thing about, like, writing, you know, some people are just presenters.
Yeah.
You know, but, and they just turn up and they get given their little blurbs and they do it. And then some people go and I would write little funny jokes and whatever.
Were you like a modern day Steve Priestley?
Yes.
That's my dream. I'm so jealous. I'd love to be that guy.
It was amazing.
So you wrote your own order cues?
Yes.
Amazing.
Oh my God.
I love how you're saying that to him, right? The other week, I was filming a television show myself, actually.
Here we go.
And I was very flattered because, like, someone on the crew said to me, oh, you've never done auto cue before? And I said, no, I haven't. And he was like, wow, you're doing really well. So I said to him, someone on the crew said that I'm just doing, like, they're really surprised about how well I'm doing at the auto cue. And she went, what, reading?
There's much more to it than that.
Oh,
also, I barely even use the auto cue. It was all memory for me.
Really?
Yeah, phenomenal memory.
So obviously you're a movie expert. What's your favourite film of all time?
Oh God, that's the hardest.
Tell us a joke, you're a comedian.
Yeah, it's just like which genre and year. Okay, well this fits a few of those in terms of a Venn diagram, would be Annie Hall.
Oh,
and
I'm afraid that's incorrect. The answer is Weekend at Bernie's. Moving on.
Annie Hall is one of the best films.
I do like Annie Hall.
It's so defines me, that film, to the point, you know, I watched it when I was maybe 16, 17 and almost based my adult persona on that character. And then internalised it to the point where I don't even recognise it. Love to be Diane Keaton. I mean, that is my ultimate crush. Yeah. But when I got together with my now wife, they had they'd done a reprint at the Curzon.
You made a weird...
Because that's kind of wankers that I am going to Curzon for a reprint. And I was like, you have to come and see this film. This film defines me. If you don't like it, there's no point in us being together. And then she came along and then she was like laughing all the way through the film. Oh. Like, huh? But forced laughter. And then she was like, oh, this film's amazing. And then after we'd got married and had kids, she finally revealed to me, like, oh yeah, I didn't think it was all that. Like, stabbed me in the heart. She tricked me. That harlot, she sussed me
in. Not even the bit where they're having the conversation on the balcony and there's the subtext.
I think I freaked her out so much.
Too much pressure.
Too much pressure to love this film that she just was just freaked out.
Do you think that maybe you freaked a person out by saying, like, that this, your judgment of them as a human depending on whether or not they enjoyed 90 minutes of a film by someone who married his daughter? Do you think that might have freaked her out a little bit?
Well, when you say it like that, it makes me sound like an arsehole. But I will say that I am an absolute advocate of judging books by their cover. If someone said they didn't like the Wire TV show, and I know that's now become almost like a sort of cliche in its own right or whatever to say, but for me, that is one of the greatest art forms, certainly one of the best television shows. If you don't like it, I'm not going to be your friend. I don't want to know you. There's no point us having a conversation.
She hasn't seen Top Gun. I don't know if I really love her yet. Oh my God.
Wow, that's like... I
grew up in Australia.
When I got together with my wife, she hadn't seen The Godfathers, she hadn't watched like Sopranos, all this stuff. So basically the first few months we were together...
She raised by wolves?
Well,
locked her in a basement with a DVD player.
No, she had a happy life. She was out there partying, having fun, having friends, talking to people, communicating, and being just a healthy human being. And like you say, I actually did pretty much lock her away for about 3 months, gave her the full-on Josh... course in popular culture,
yeah,
so we could then have a conversation that wasn't about our feelings.
Excellent.
Okay,
excellent.
So what else have we, anything else you want to tell say about me?
Wanted to talk to you about your upcoming radio sitcom called Losing It.
It's called Josh Howie's Losing It, because I had to get my name in there.
Of course you did.
That's what you have to do.
What's it about?
It's about the first season, he says optimistically, is about us, my wife and I, having our first kid. So I've not bothered to change any names, or I have no imagination. I basically chosen these instances that basically happen. Yeah, I maybe did some rejigging and whatnot, but it follows from the first episode of finding out that she was pregnant all the way through to giving birth. You know, I don't know if it's come across yet so far, but I'm a bit of a dick. So... but, you know, that's what I look to for my comedy. So it's taking... the dickish parts of it, but coming, like, I want to, you know, I think I'm a good stroke great dad. I love being dad and whatever, but you know, there's that kind of overinvestment of myself in and fear that comes out, and it comes out in me being a dick. And now that's funny, and they made, you know, hopefully makes for a great sitcom, but it all came from truth. So it was like my wife called me to tell me when I was on the way to a gig in a car with someone else who I didn't like, who was giving me this lift. And she called and was like, oh, no, I'm, you know, I was like, hey, what's up? She's like, oh, I'm pregnant and whatever. And I had to be like, oh, okay. So then my wife was all pissed with me because I hadn't been like, I made, you know, and then I called her back as soon as I got to the gig, but I was like, you should always ask if you're free to talk before you reveal big information like that. So it's sort of this thing that just kept...
It's your fault, you dickhead.
She
did it wrong.
She did it. She should have waited till I got... You could have waited 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I would have got home, and then, you know, that's the way you would picture it. You know, or you piss on the stick together, and then there's some crying and all that shit. You'd see the line appear... And she took that from me, and now I'm the dickhead because I didn't, like, get all excited when she told me because I didn't want this guy to know. So that's the sort of, that's, like, the thing that happened in reality that then builds into the sitcom. So it's basically me being a dick, but I think right at the same time.
I think you're an ideal candidate for a game we played on the podcast recently with Tim Downing called Did Our Husbands Really Say That? You've got a late edition.
Yeah, I do. So,
why don't you try it out on Josh?
Yeah, I was thinking I could use that tonight, actually. I started running yesterday for the first time in, I can't remember.
Mazel tov.
Many thank yous. And so I put on an old sports bra and a, you know, a really old...
Don't need the full details.
Oh, yes.
Do I, is this part of the story?
Yes, you do.
Oh, really? Okay, sorry.
Yes,
okay.
You do.
Colours, give me the colour.
Shh. Okay, anyway, woman's talking.
Okay.
So I went for a run and I came back and I said, oh, I think this sports bra has made my boobs look a bit weird, Will. And he said, yeah, it has. You look like you've got the boobs of a 56-year-old man. Did he really say that?
Okay, now that's different. There's no...
Is because it?
No, that's not... I mean, I disagree. I don't think he should have said that at all.
No.
I think that was a very stupid thing to say.
But you don't disagree. She does have the boobs of a 56-year-old man.
The audience... The people listening can't see what I'm seeing at the moment.
He's currently looking at the ceiling and blushing. Yeah,
but... No, that was a very stupid, and I would never agree with that. No, the things that I'm talking about are things that are like, okay, this morning we went to a cafe, and as we're leaving, she's going to pick up some cupcakes, and my wife has a thing where she doesn't check the prices of things before she does it. Now, it's some like wanky cafe, it cost £2.70 for this tiny cupcake, she was getting three of them, and I was like, I knew she hadn't looked. I was like, have you looked at the price? And basically, I was like, no, we're not getting these cupcakes. And we are a few. So now we haven't spoken pretty much since. We had a massive argument on the way from that. Now, hopefully by the time the podcast comes out, we'll have made up. But we haven't spoken since that point. But that for me was like, so I sort of banned her from buying. I can't allow another human being to spend £7.50 on three cupcakes. Like, for me, that now the way I said it was wrong, I was a bit aggressive and all that stuff, that doesn't make me wrong. So I was a dick, but right, that's always my motto. Like, so it's, you know. And then she was like, well, you should have let me buy the, you know, the thing, and then we could have talked about it afterwards. But but this has been an ongoing thing for many years about not looking at prices. Like, you know, you're at Tesco's, she's not looking at the deals. She's not going, she's not doing...
Ellie would agree with you there.
You know what I'm saying? She's not going, she's just picking up a big of, you know, some spinach and just go, oh yeah, we've got spinach, there we go. It's going, no, look at that one. That one is two for, you know, so you're paying double, you know, she's not paying attention. They were vegan cupcakes. She hadn't... Vegan cupcakes, £2.70 for it was insane.
Butter.
It was totally insane.
Never.
And so that's the sort of, now is that a dickish thing for me to ban her from buying these cupcakes?
What for a man to remove a woman's economic power? I don't know what you're talking about. How
yeah,
that
okay.
Be
well, okay. Well, then, again,
problematic.
When you put it like that. She was so embarrassed, that's how I got her to not buy it. Like, I can't stop her from buying it,
right?
But I can be such a dick that she just wants to get out of the shop as quickly as possible.
Yeah. That's almost the same thing, isn't it? It's funny, isn't it? It's almost the same thing, isn't
it? Yeah, but I'm not, taking her purse away or not, like...
Shall we move on to the other bit of the thing I was going to say?
Yes,
oh, yeah.
Go
oh, God, this is still
okay.
going on.
I've
done so much in my life.
I know. We've moved through three sentences already.
No,
okay.
I know what's coming.
Okay,
I can see it on a piece of paper.
I know, I cut and paste it from the internet.
Oh, God.
So you're a family man, Josh.
Yeah.
You've had four kids. But, you know, your mum, your family life was slightly different. You are the son of legendary PR guru Lynn Franks, who inspired Jennifer Saunders' Adina Monsoon from Absolutely Fabulous.
Well, thank you for bringing it up last, because at least the listeners may have got to know me as a human being.
Yes,
rather
and a dick.
Than, yeah, as a dick in my own right.
That's what
rather
I could have
than,
done it at the start.
No, I appreciate that. That's thoughtful of you.
Yeah.
So thank you. So at least now I have some identity of my own.
You are your own person, George.
Yeah, I was.
It's fine.
I was.
We're going to spend 20 minutes chatting about what your wife does.
Yeah. For the first 15 minutes of this podcast, I was my own person.
Yeah.
But
that's
now
exactly
I'm
right.
the son of Lynn Franks.
That's right. And you were raised as a Buddhist.
Yeah.
And you said you used to do a bit of chanting so you could get stuff you wanted.
Yeah, well,
you sort of pretended to be a Buddhist.
It was called, it's Nichiren Shoshu type, but it's a Japanese form of Buddhism. And it became very popular in the 80s, and it was a very materialistic type of religion but you would chant for what you wanted. So it was like perfect for the 80s because they would argue that
I want a really large phone.
It's no joke. Like, that was it. You would chant an hour, you'd chant like 45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes in the evening.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes of that was dedicated to world peace. And the rest was, you were meant to like, basically it's manifestation. So, but you're meant to chant, and you were encouraged to like chant for a BMW or whatever. In my case, being 8, 9, 10 years old, what I would do is I would chant. My mum forced me to chant, like had to do it. And then I'd be like, well, it's not working because, you know, I was chanting for a new bike and I haven't. And then suddenly I would get a new bike. So I did then realise, oh, well, this is how I can get what I want. But I say, oh, Mom, I've been trying for a Sega system and for like a week now. And it hasn't manifested. I don't think this Buddhism works. Cha-ching! Sonic the Hedgehog! Let's do it. But when I was 15, 16, my mum then got into Native American culture. Spent an Easter in America living with these Native Americans. I did a sweat lodge. I did a vision quest. So all this stuff. Then I got back to boarding school, being a posh boy, and like would tell people like, oh, my name is now Black Hawk and I can dissolve clouds in my mind and whatever. And they were like, what the fuck? You know, I had no friends.
Yeah.
And then, and the way that I put together, and I did an Edinburgh show about this a few years ago, was by when I was 18, I went out to Israel and I trained to be a rabbi.
Fair enough.
As you do.
Yeah.
That was my way of rebelling. Yeah.
And then when did you realise that the rabbi thing was perhaps not for you?
When I fucked a girl. The Orthodox, there's no, men and women don't touch at all. Yeah, so we were in male dormitories, even the cleaners were men, like it's that segregated. And we had a weekend off, we went to Tel Aviv, I met a girl on the beach from Rome, Roman Catholic, like with a cross, like the exact opposite, you know. And so there's a festival called Tisha B'Av. It's the destruction of the Second Temple, and it's a very sad day in Jewish thing. And I knew that everybody would be down at the Wailing Wall for the big service. So that I had like an hour window.
Time to get it on.
Let's go to the dormitories.
Yeah,
and then one
you can make my wall wail anytime. Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, and one of the head rabbis walked in.
What did you say? What do you say when you're fucking a girl?
Oi, vey! I sort of like, he kind of opened, like, knocked on the door, half opened it. I literally sort of picked her up and threw her in the cupboard, like, thinking I got away with it. But he'd obviously seen something. And then they called me in and they kicked me out.
So, I mean, I'm thinking about Steven Tyler said that when he watched Spinal Tap, he just didn't laugh at all because he was like, but this is real. This is what my life.
Yeah,
it's like, why is it funny?
Yeah,
and do you feel like that about Absolutely Fabulous? Is it that close to the bone or no?
Yeah, it was a bit weird. Yeah, when we first, again, it's weird. I remember this one scene in particular where she's on the mobile phone going into her office speaking, and then she's like, and I remember it getting massive laughs because it was fine. And now, of course, this is what we all do, but this is like sort of pre mobile, you know, but it seemed like so hilarious. That was something directly what my mum would do. She would be on the, you know, all the way up to the point of meeting someone. Of course, now that's just part of it. But I hadn't thought about it like this. No, I thought, you know what? I thought it was really funny the first season, just as a comedy series. And then it just got shit because it just wasn't as funny anymore. It was a bit
surreal. Did you know it was about her from the
start?
Yeah,
because it was all, yeah, I mean, to give you the, I was 15, 16. My character was in boarding school, which is where I was. If you want the full lowdown, I mean, this is somewhat boring to me, and but I will, I'm sure it's
yes,
not,
we do. Come on.
Yeah, sure. come on.
I'll just get it out of the way. They were really good mates. They met. My mum actually did their PR. They came and stayed with us on holiday. They were up one night late, all drinking and whatever. And my sister, Jess, went downstairs, she must be 12, 13 at the time, and told them all off. I was like, we're the kids and you're the adults and we're all trying to sleep and you're all being noisy and stuff like that. They thought that was hilarious. They did a sketch in the TV series. The character was called Jess after my sister, and then they did a sitcom from that. But my mum knew about it before it came out because the script editor was Ruby Wax, who was friends with my mum. So my mum got a copy of the script, saw that it was basically her life, and it was like the nanny, the my mum's secretary, assistant was basically like, looked like, but you know, my mom, my grandma looked like that, the kitchen looked the same, the bin, it was all like,
was she pissed off your mom?
Yeah, she was just hurt because this was her mate, and this was a really good friend of hers. And then it came out, and then it was really funny, and then I think that sort of helped, obviously. But no, she was totally hurt.
Are they friends now?
No, they're not enemies or anything, but and I guess if it were a more litigious culture, things might have been more. But it's sort of not the dumb thing to go, you know, but I imagine she could have sued and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it was so that's the AbFab thing. I think that's almost all I have to say about it, but that is it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah.
You talked about already how you kind of rebelled against your mum doing the rabbi thing and all that. When it came to being a parent, how much are you like your mum's parent? How much have you rejected her parenting style? Or
well, when you say... it's very hard to say my mum has a parenting style. does nannies count as a parenting style? I guess...
Yeah, you know, it's a choice.
I mean, I wrote an article about it a few years ago, but I had something like 30 nannies in 8 years or something crazy like that. My mum was on the phone 20 minutes after I was born to work. That was a lot, and that's fine. But for me, and I went to boarding school about 10 minutes from where I actually lived. So, but I'm not, there's no like blame or anything. It's a different culture. And she was an icon, or is an icon in a way, you know, she was out there just getting the work done. But I think now, and I think she would agree as well, is, you know, I think now we hopefully, like every generation, you look to the past one and you hope to correct their mistakes slightly. So maybe there was an imbalance there, and hopefully now the idea is that we, you know, but I definitely am, I love, you know, love being a dad, I love being around my kid, you know, and I, so I have, I'm very hands-on in a way that my mum, yeah, never, or my dad really ever were. But that's, I'm not, that's not like a blame. I think that's just almost like a generational shift. I think everybody...
Well, I think it's, I'm a big believer in that thing about, you know, almost all parents do the best they possibly can with the resources they have.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're being generous. I just don't think they thought about it. Everyone feels like they're doing best, but the reality is that being a parent is fucking hard and you've got to put the hours in. And that's the reality. If you're going to be that kind of hands-on parent... I don't want to change anything in my upbringing. I had an insanely privileged upbringing, but I just know that's not what I want for my kids. Like I'm there in a very hands-on, day-to-day way every day. Now, I get to do that because I'm a comic, so I work nights, so I get to do, and my wife doesn't drive, so I'm doing all the school runs, I'm doing all the shopping, I'm doing, and I'm there in the house all day, and I'd rather play with my kids than work. I'm always, like, fascinated to... What are they going to be bitching about? What have I done wrong? How have I fucked up?
Well, I tell you, you've done something, because I don't know any parent either who's a parent of young children currently, or who's like in my mum's generation, who can sit back and go, oh, I did a brilliant job. I'm totally happy with every decision I made and the way I raised my children, and they've never had any problems. Like, nobody can say that, can they?
Yeah, I think there are. I mean, I think maybe because we are sort of comics or in that world. When you meet some people, they had very healthy, normal upbringings, and it's kind of strange when you meet people like that. Like, yeah, no, I love my parents and I call them all the time and I, you know, and they're great. And I just, that sort of blows my mind. Not that I don't actually, I do actually spend a fair amount of time now with my parents, but in terms of that being a young kid thing, it's a weird thing to say, but I think I'm pretty amazing as a dad. Not as a person, maybe, but as a dad, I feel like, you know, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I have, like, you know, some anger comes out, some bit, little bit
that,
controlling,
that's
pretty
human,
yeah,
though.
And all those things.
You're,
but I think
angry.
Just, I think I'm pretty. I do feel pretty confident. So I'm trying to see where my weak areas are. What have I done wrong? What are they going to talk to the therapist about in 30 years?
There'll be something.
There's going to be something. But I don't know what. That's what, I don't know what it, I wish I racked my brain. The only reason I get to be a good dad is because my wife is the most. Like, my wife is a child therapist, trained as a nanny, was a nanny for 15 years. Like, so there's no one more. Her whole being is about being a mum. Absolutely, 100%, never argue with her about any of that stuff. If she's got advice on me, I take it. I'm grateful for it. I cannot in any way compete with her in terms of her. She's a nurturing, she is Mother Earth and all that shit, right? But I'd like to think of my role as being, like, getting them ready for real life. So they've got the nurturing, they're fully loved. You know, but I like to think that I can give what I can give them. Yeah, not the fun stuff. No, more like the neuroses, like the more interesting. You know, because I don't really want kids. You've got to ask what, you know. Do you want those kids who are just really? You want them to be happy. You know, have a sense of self, a good sense, and be confident. But you don't want someone who's just going to kind of like just get an, you know, because they've got to have a bit of edge to them. Mm. And I think hopefully I give them the edge. That's what I see my role.
Phonics, F-A-K.
So they got it.
Edgy!
So I'd like to be like the real, and I think that's a good, balance is always my go-to word for anything. So hopefully we've got it covered,
now,
he says.
To steal Ellie Gibson's phrase, what is your nugget of wisdom for fatherhood? Because it sounds like you've got a bit of confidence, Josh Howie.
I do. Like I said, so much of it is because I do appreciate that a lot for most men, most, not the majority, you know,
yeah,
are, you know, I'm basically a stay-at-home dad, so we have a 50-50 thing with house care, with housework and with all the child stuff, mostly, but
can I just ask, if she says do the dishes, do you also do the pots?
Well, okay, this is another
thing. Yes or no, Howie? Yes or no? It's make us paxman you.
She doesn't say do the dishes because I do the dishes. We bought a dishwasher, obviously,
right.
But
no, fair enough.
My theory, and I've been thinking about this, is one person in a couple is a tidier.
Yeah.
And one person is actually like a cleaner. Do you see what I mean? So my wife tidies, like she'll move the books onto and put them thing and think that that's cleaning.
Right.
That isn't cleaning. Cleaning is getting into the shit.
Right.
Getting in that fridge. I just cleaned out our fridge. Yeah. Like, that's what cleaning is. You know what I mean? I clean that room. When if I'm doing that, I'm going to clean.
You remove the carpets, you go underneath.
You've got to get to it. My wife's
Can
a
Can I just
tiger.
Say, you look really nice in this light, by the way.
Okay.
Have you got any problems in your marriage?
Well, but just apart from that, we haven't talked for the last 6 hours.
Oh, yeah, because the cupcakes. Fucking hell, yeah. Move on.
The thing is, because my wife is such an angel and is the source of all light and everybody loves her.
And cannot fucking deal with money.
Yeah, yeah, but cannot deal with, no, but so they, you know, everybody, and including myself, knows that I'm the luckiest man alive. But it is weird where everybody, including my family, prefers her to me. Like, and that is, you know, because like I say, I'm just a bit of a dick. So they include, and everybody knows that. So I think we compliment each other. That's what we need. I would say my wife might say it was more like 60-40 or 70-30. I think it's more like 50-50 myself. When you add in ordering birthday presents online, booking holidays, and all the other shit, sorting out.
Does
the
she do that?
No, me. Like, wow. Yeah, anything like that. You know, so
you're like a woman.
You're like a hybrid.
I'm but that's the way I was sort of. It was my mum. She was the main breadwinner, really. And even though my dad was joint part of the company and stuff, but she was the figurehead of that sort of stuff. For me, that's always been my reality. All my bosses have always been women. All of my, you know, the main breadwinners, even my grandmother was like, my grandfather was like in mental hospitals and stuff from the war, and she was the one taking care of all the business stuff. So it's always been weird for me, because for me, women have always been in control. So in a way that
might
be
amazing.
Well, it sounds amazing that that's what it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah, except that
T. Ronnie sketch. But it doesn't necessarily make,
then I think that could come out in resentment. Like, one of the first jokes I worked, did, which isn't funny, I'm not saying it's funny in any way, because it's not, it was like a joke I wrote 15 years ago, it was about being a feminist misogynist, because it was like, yeah, women are better than men and all that stuff, and then I hate them for it. But that was the way I was raised, is to be resentful, because that masculine crisis, like, I never even had a chance to be masculine, and I hate, so I don't like being around, I always much more comfortable around women. I hate football. My aim in life is to get I've got three sons and a daughter, if I can ensure that none of them are into football, I will be insanely happy. as long as, you know, and they don't listen to Oasis and they don't get into lad culture and they don't, you know, that whole thing.
Don't grow a penis, yeah.
The penis is, no, I've got a penis, that's all fine, but it just...
But what if they do like those things? Isn't that just as bad as trying to stop a boy from liking ballet or painting or so-called girly things?
No, yeah, I mean, but at the same time, I'm not going to go and spend my Sundays on football field, you know, and I've sort of, I'm absolutely brainwashing my kids and I don't give a shit. Yeah. Now, they can rebel against it later on and all that stuff, but right now, I'm in full on, like, reading comic books. They're playing board games with me. I'm getting them into all the things that I'm into.
You will play the violin. You will play the lute.
I don't know if I'm into the violin. No, but what I'm saying is I'm creating these mini clones. So yeah. I've got someone to go to, like, Star Trek conventions with. You know what I mean? Now, later on, that's the sort of thing they're going to be telling them. Oh, yeah. My dad wouldn't let me play football.
That's only dressed up as Deanna Troi.
Yeah.
Right, okay, so shall we play a game?
Oh, yes, please.
I love games.
Yes! So what I've done, I have written a game based on your love of film.
Yes.
Your love of comedy, your love of writing, and love of being a dad.
And love of life.
Yeah, and it's called Holly Dad. The game is you have to guess where the quote is from.
Okay.
And it will be from a famous dad in a Hollywood film.
Okay. Ah, nice. Okay.
So I've got quotes from all American famous films that you would love the dad in.
Okay, so probably like American Pie is probably one of your...
Don't
assume.
Oh, don't get all cocky, Josh.
All right.
You had your Sky movies.
Okay,
you
know. fine. Okay, I'm just thinking. Okay.
Women have choices and men have responsibilities.
Godfather?
No. Parenthood? Yes.
Come on, Steve Martin.
Yes! Boom! Wow. Gibson won.
That's a great
and the
film.
Dirt is gone.
A great film. It's a great film. Okay. And Steve Martin says that.
Steve Martin said, women have choices and men have responsibilities.
That seems like bullshit. That's just like...
Don't overanalyze it. Just keep going.
That's an annoying line. That's a shit line.
You're just a sore loser. Okay, come on. Let's go.
I can see through your veil. Absolutely.
Okay, ready? This is no longer a vacation. It's a quest. It's a quest for fun.
Family vacation.
National Lampoon's holiday.
American
vacation.
No, the first,
Christmas.
Second one though. Christmas vacation.
They go to Wally World.
Yes,
yeah.
Ellie.
The first one then.
Yes.
That he's a good dad. That character. That's the kind of dad over trying too hard, fucking it up.
Yeah. Okay, you ready for some more American accent?
Go. Oh,
okay. I build 50-story skyscrapers. I assemble cities of the future. I can certainly put together a diaper.
Three Men and a Baby.
Yeah.
Tom Selleck.
Yes!
Come on!
I want to buy 8 hot dogs and 8 hot dog buns to go with them. But no one sells 8 hot dog buns. Yeah?
Father of the Bride, Steve Martin.
Yeah, come on!
Jesus Christ. Child of the 90s. Yeah.
Big fan of Steve Martin.
Okay.
No,
okay.
Absolutely.
Moving on. With fronds like these, who needs an enemies?
Jean de Florette. Sorry, the accent confused me. A Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
Kicking it in.
Yeah, you're really... I mean, if you actually had arranged some quotes from some, like, good films, I might... Not that
Can
Finding...
Can you believe Josh Howe is a man?
Not that Finding Nemo is not a good film. It's fine. I would say it's probably one of my least favourites of the Pixel oeuvre.
Okay. Or even Pixar.
Yeah.
Pixar, oh man, I'm getting busted.
Disney Pixar Animation.
The audience just said, I'm mixing wine and alcohol.
Oh, you're thinking DreamWorks.
Oh my God, I'm being busted. I'm being slapped all over the place here. This is terrible.
Walt Disney Animation.
Oh man, she's bringing them on. She's got so many of them.
Ready?
Okay.
You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view, until you climb into his skin and walk around in it.
It's not like women, what women want.
No. It's To Kill a Mockingbird. Bored?
Kill a Mockingbird?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
A man who doesn't spend time with his family can never really be a real man.
Oh, I know that. Yeah. Oh, that's like some gangster film or something. Mm-hmm. That might be The Godfather.
Godfather.
Yes.
Oh, we both go at the same time. We both say
yes. Okay. Very good. Okay, the last one. You ready, Ellie?
Why are you saying, can you ask me if I'm ready as well?
So
neat.
Why do you have to? Why are you giving her an unfair advantage by asking her if she's ready? The reason why she's winning is because you're constantly asking if she's ready and you're not asking I'm ready.
Josh Howie, are you ready?
I am now.
You okay?
No, I don't like losing.
How are you feeling?
I'm very relaxed, if it helps.
I feel like you've been sent these questions before.
I have not. No, I have not. No, they might just be that I know about film.
arms. Imagine that.
Okay.
Wow.
No, no, no. I would like
mind
to change
blown.
This. I'm going to say the most wanky thing ever, and it is this. You know about movies. These are movies, not
you
films.
You know, To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's a book more than a film. That's a book.
I'm having the best time of my life.
Oh, he's going upstairs. Research this quiz.
Calm down.
But just put in quotes from Three Colours Blue.
Okay, one more quote and then we can all have a cry.
It's all right, Josh.
No, it's all right. This is not good. I'm humiliated here. You can't take away, like, just because you get these quotes from films doesn't mean you know more about film than me. That's all I've got in life.
Here's the funny thing.
Is my thing about
Here's
film.
The funny thing.
It's just a game.
Nobody said that. Nobody
no,
said
I'm
that.
Saying
that was
that.
What would
that's,
be
that's
the case.
That's what the audience is thinking. They're thinking, my God, he thinks he knows about films. He doesn't even know Father of the Bride 3.
Actually, it was number one. But anyway, number one.
And I've seen that film many, many times.
Well, clearly not enough.
I just have bad recall.
It's okay.
Too many films.
It's okay, Josh. It's
no, it's
all right.
Not right.
You're still a winner.
No.
He's not there. He's literally lost.
I don't even
want to
play.
I've lost.
It's all over for me. It's
not a winner.
You've taken away something from me.
Come on now. I'm very excited.
Okay. Here we go. All right, I'm going to fully commit myself to this mentally.
I'll be watching you, and if I find you trying to corrupt my firstborn child, I will bring you down, baby. I will bring you down to Chinatown.
Oh no! It's like Dockers. Meet the fuckers.
Yes!
There we are.
Yeah.
Good on you, Josh.
Oh, some dignity reclaimed at the end. Oh, fuck. I think Ellie deliberately didn't get that to be nice. Anyway.
It's time for the Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Yes, okay. It is. Have you got a Scummy Mummy Confession for us?
What's his name? James McAvoy, speaking of film stars, movie stars, lives quite close to us. And we got children about the same age, and he was in the park and he was chatting to my wife. Anyway, I was changing a nappy and I was really trying to be like, "Ooh, look at me, I'm a dad like you, we should hang out," like sending that vibe. But on my son's dick was a bit of shit and it just wouldn't come off. And I was just like, do I put the nappy back on or do I really get this?
What would James
shit.
McAvoy do?
Which one is going to make him, is he going to respect me? So it was a real dilemma because I want to be friends with James McAvoy. I want him to bring me into his life. You know, in the end, I gave up. He just had to have that shit on his dick. And I'm sorry if any social services are listening, but my son had a piece of poo on his willy.
And are you James McAvoy's new best friend?
Nope, didn't work. I think he obviously went, he wanted the clean dick. He did not respect me.
Ellie?
I want to say hello to Hannah, who I met in Clark's in Bromley the other day. Oh, the glamour. And this lady came up to me and she said, "Oh, excuse me, are you a scummy mummy?" And I said, "Yes, are you a scummy mummy?" And it was like we were Russian spies and it was really cool. And then she was like, "Oh, I listen to the podcast." And I was like, "Oh, thank you." And it was all lovely. And while I was busy sort of basking in the lovely glow, I sort of was completely ignoring my children who were systematically swiping every single shoe off all the shelves in the whole of Bromley Clark's.
But it was all about ego for that moment.
It was.
That's it. We're at the end of the podcast. Wonderful, Josh Howie. Thank you for being a splendid guest.
Absolute pleasure.
It's been so wonderful to have you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much to you for listening. If you do like the podcast, please tell your friends. Please leave us an iTunes review because that pushes us up the charts, doesn't it?
And we've got a few exciting gigs coming up. We've got Cat Festival, which is going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah. Get those wellies ready.
That's right. We'll be on the Guardian stage with Sarah Cox.
Oh, my God. She's amazing.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'll give you a bonus round. I will find you and I will kill you.
It sounds like Rob Roy or something.
It's Taken.
I love that film. He is a great dad.
It's a film, that. It's not a movie. Is that right?
Okay, you're right. That is a movie. But But you know what? That almost elevates itself to art. I have seen that film more than
and any. And yet you still didn't know the quote. Oh my God, that's
so weird. No, maybe I just didn't know the accent. I was like, I did get the right. Well, actually, saying that, I did say Rob Roy, which is, you know, Liam Neeson is Rob Roy. So maybe it was the accent, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that'd work on Mastermind.
No, but it was more your pausing was wrong. There was I will find you.
It was
I will find you. I will find you. You know, it was like, because you were like, I will find you. And I will. No, he doesn't speak that angrily. It's more like controlled. It's like, I will find you. And when I find you. I will kill you. It was more, it's more threat, yeah.
I didn't know Woody Allen was in Taken. That's amazing.
That hurts.
Because he said he's modelled himself on Woody Allen.
No, I would say, but as a dad, I would say I model myself more. I have more in common with Liam Neeson than Taken. But I've got to be honest, the one thing is when I get, if I had like done the right, I've gone all over the planet, I've run, I've killed all these people, I've run hundreds of miles, I've got in a car, I've been tortured, all this shit, I get there at the end, killed all these people on the boat, and then finally in front of me is like my beautiful, beloved daughter, Kim.
Yeah.
At that moment, I would say, I fucking told you so.
Now get that Diamante bikini off, yeah, and get, yeah, in the Uber.
Absolutely. This is exactly what happens when you get into U2 and you travel around Europe to follow them. How was this not going to happen?
Yeah.
That was that you listened to your fucking mom, yeah, and she fucking said it was fine, and I fucking, so listen to me, thank you very much. That's what I would say.
You didn't even listen to us when you was in Lost. You ended up buried on that bloody, yeah, island. Look, she's at never, the state of you now.
She's never going to learn her lesson.
No, she never will.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.